Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where
prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Live, Laugh, Larceny discusses true petty crimes that may be disturbing to some.
Or could be easy listening to all you psychopaths out there.
All stories are based on actual events. But details may vary.
Listener discretion is not advised.
Live.
Laugh.
Larceny. Welcome to Live, Laugh, Larceny, when you accept a favor, but all you can think about is when you'll have to pay it back. This is Trevin.
And I'm Amanda. Hi, Trevin.
Hello there.
Do you have a dreadful dilemma this week?
I have a dreadful dilemma, and it's about something that I think we all have in common. Pants.
I've been known to wear pants a time or two.
You have, because last time you came without them, I said you couldn't come back. So yes, whether it's to keep our asses warm or just to keep people from running away from you, we have to wear these things.
Totally.
So me personally, I like to wear American Eagle. They're not a paid sponsor or anything, but I like to wear the ones with the active stretch to them.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
I don't know if it's because of this technology or what. When my pants have run their course and they've given all they have to give... And eventually we know that we need to put them out to pasture because they no longer do their job well. The first sign is that the crotch.
Yeah.
It starts to just spread apart.
Oh my God. Continue.
Hashtag unintentional sexiness.
I know. God.
But that's usually the spot where it starts to go. And then once I can be sitting in a chair and look down and be like, okay, it looks like I'm going to pop a ball or something. These need to go.
Right, totally.
So I have a roster of pants that I run through, and three of my four start to wear in that same spot at the same time.
Oh, gosh.
And I was just like, I don't want to think about pants anymore. Like, this is so annoying. I have to keep replacing them because pants aren't cheap, but I can always justify spending more on them. It's almost like a weird subscription service. I have to pick one up probably once every 6 months, but I don't have to spend like $150 to get three or something. I can just spend it here and there to get it when it's needed.
Yeah.
So I had one and I was like, okay, you're my one good pair of jeans left that don't have these holes. I haven't replaced the other ones yet. I'm getting ready to go out with my friends. We're going to go see a comedy show. I feel safe that nothing's going to happen.
Nothing's
with these pants.
Okay.
You're my one good pair. We go to the show. We have to walk in big crowds of people, go to a fancy restaurant, and then we come home. And I go back to reach for my wallet, and I touch bare booty skin.
Oh, God. Were you not wearing boxers?
Okay, I didn't really touch bare booty skin.
Okay, I was like, good God. You're telling me your butt cheek was flapping in the wind.
Well, okay, my wallet rests lower in my pants. So
okay.
I reach more for my thigh.
Okay.
And I'm like, wait, what the fuck happened? Because usually my pants wear out a little bit in the crotch. My butt cheeks must have grew hands, grabbed them, and was just like, and just hulked.
I mean, that is a really weird spot. So it was underneath your butt cheek?
No, it was like up my butt crack. And I'm like, why did I have a whole ass blowout in public? And also, I want to know, How long was the ass blown out in public?
Which friend were you with? Because someone should have told you.
I was with Luke and Kat and Emily.
Oh, yes.
It's like, oh my God, did this happen early? Or did maybe it just happen getting out of the car?
So then what did you do?
Well, I had to throw the pants away.
But like, did people see?
Well, I don't know when the rip happened, so...
Oh, okay.
One of those things where it's like, how long did I have something in my teeth? And nobody said anything, sort right. of thing. I just don't know if I showed everybody my ass or what.
I just want you to know that if this ever, for some reason, happens again in the future, I've got your back. I'll be like, Trevin, your ass is exposed.
Yeah.
Okay? I will tell you.
Thank you.
That's dreadful. I also have a dreadful dilemma this week. So recently, my husband Jordan turned 30.
Old man.
I know. He's finally joining the 30s club. He's turning old. So he's received a couple gifts to the house. And Jordan's best friend thankfully warned me. He texted me and said, listen, Amanda, I am sending Jordan a birthday gift and it's very inappropriate and it's more of like a gag gift situation.
Ooh.
So I kind of knew that it was coming, but I didn't know when or what it was. So I'm at home one day. It was during the week. Jordan was at work. I was home with the kids and our mailman comes up to the front door. And I think that's kind of odd because apparently I need to sign for something.
Uh-oh.
I go out there, Trevin. And immediately the mailman just has a great sense of humor and he's just laughing, you know, as he's approaching my front step. And he's like, wow, whoever sent you this is a real funny friend, isn't it? And I'm like, oh, hell, what is this? So I see the package. It's a yellow package with black lettering with like, here, I'll show you a picture with like a little mysterious detective. And in big old letters, it says, Porn Addicts Anonymous. Congratulations. The road to your recovery is not easy. You've hit your first milestone. Keep going. And then there's a little decal on the corner and it says 2-week badge, masturbation free.
Oh my God.
Yes. And so I have to sign for this, okay? I'm just a stay-at-home mom attire, weird bun on the head, sweatpants, having to sign for this shit. And inside of the package is a magnet and a pin to celebrate the milestone. It was a little bit awkward, but I'm just glad the mailman knew it was a joke.
It just kind of sucks, though, because that was Jordan's to get. He should have felt embarrassed getting that.
I know. Because I had to endure that embarrassment, I was like, okay. And I texted his best friend. I said, you little fucker, I just had to sign for this. He's like, haha, I had to pay extra for that and everything. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to like turn this into something for myself because of what I just had to go through. So as soon as Jordan got home, I had my acting face on. And I was just like, what's this, Jordan? What did I just receive in the mail? I tried to act so dead serious. Like, I was so pissed. And he immediately was like, oh, yeah, did my friend say that?
I was going to say this didn't work.
It didn't work. But I tried. I tried to turn it into something because he didn't have to sign for it.
Yeah, it's like Jordan's always working. So that was probably never going to work.
I know.
But that gave me a great idea. That's what I should send to my neighbors.
That would be good.
That would be good.
I bet you could start up some drama.
It's like, hey, remember how we haven't had a problem in like 6 months? Want to have one now?
I'm feeling feisty.
Boy, am I.
Well, yeah, for anyone who's looking for a great prank, as long as the target you're intending to sign for it has to sign for it, then it's a good one.
I may reach out.
So we are going to be playing a game of two truths and a lie.
I've got three wires. Which one do I cut?
I'll give you two truths and a lie.
But wait, we don't have time for this.
And I am going first.
Okay.
So I recently saw an absolute terrible, terrible movie called Elvis.
Oh.
Anybody heard of this thing?
You hated it?
That movie sucked.
Wait, are you really for real?
I'm serious.
Oh, I haven't seen it, so I don't know.
It is so dumb. Okay, I'll just say this real quick. The movie is supposed to be about Elvis, but the whole damn thing is narrated by somebody else. And if you wanted to do it in that way, you should have advertised it more in that way because I thought it was going to be more like Walk the Line or something, or it was just kind of like a very basic sort of premise.
Yeah.
I understand who the director is. I know how Baz Luhrmann works and he's very maximalist and the movie was just ridiculous and I didn't think it worked. I could not believe that that thing had an Oscar run, really. But Anyway, so there was some parts of that movie that took place when Elvis did his whole Vegas thing.
Okay.
And it made me think about gambling.
Ooh.
So I would like to do two truths and a lie about gambling.
Okay.
Statement number one. Superstitious slot machine players will soil themselves at the machine to avoid leaving and losing the big jackpot.
Oh my God.
Statement number two. In the 1950s, the Nevada State Prison had a casino for inmates where one inmate was able to win their freedom. Or statement number three, King Henry VIII once gambled away the Jesus bells of the St. Paul's Church.
Wow. Jesus bells, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. God, all of those are wild. I kind of hope that statement three is the lie. So that's what I'm going to go with.
Okay. And you're incorrect.
Dang it!
So coming from listverse.com, King Henry VIII was actually a very bad gambler, and he was addicted to it. They just said that he kept putting himself in bad positions and placing bad bets. Like, he would just be like, oh, people are tossing dice, let me bet something huge on it. And he'd be like, shoot, lost it. Okay, whatever. And they said that he famously lost the Jesus bells of Old St. Paul's Church on a single roll of dice against Sir Miles Partridge. In order to temper the public's growing disdain, Henry attempted to deceive the nation by claiming that the bells were worthless. So he's like, oh yeah, I gambled them away, but they weren't worth shit anyway.
Oh my God.
He's often referred to as England's number one gambler.
Whoa, okay. I have never heard that story.
So that is true. Now the lie is that in the 1950s, the Nevada State Prison had a casino for inmates where one inmate won their freedom.
God, I was really hoping that was a thing. How random, though.
It is a thing, but nobody won their freedom.
Okay.
BetMGM.com tells me that gambling is such an essential part of Nevada that for 35 years, the Nevada State Prison once had a casino inside. Inmates could play casino games like poker, craps, blackjack, and even bet on sports on the prison grounds.
Whoa!
Until the wardens shut the casino down in 1967. So it was a real thing, but nobody won their freedom.
Oh, okay. I should have known. I guess I was just hoping, you know?
Yeah. And then the obvious truth was that superstitious slot machine workers will soil themselves at the slot machine. And it's really interesting because I guess that's super common, actually, to where Depends, they actually created an adult diaper called Player's Advantage, which is for people to comfortably soil themselves to add like an extra 8 hours to their game if they have to. Now, the reason why this is, if anybody's wondering, they're so superstitious because some machines, they'll say that they win a jackpot once every 10,000 pulls. There is a statistic to how often they do hit, and they will eventually. Mm-hmm. So some people will go in there, plant themselves down, and beat every single pull for 12-hour shift almost, just thinking that it's going to be the next one. Now, when you get the addicted gambler brain going on, you're like, okay, if I get up from this spot right now, having known that I just blew out all of the bad chances, that means the very next one could be the one.
Oh,
so they don't even go take a bathroom break because they don't want to get up for a second and turn around and like somebody just pulls it and ding, 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 and they just win.
Oh my God.
So they will just sit there and piss themselves all night until I guess they get some sort of a jackpot that they can call the good enough one, or they just eventually have to give up for sleep reasons probably. And they just move on in their old toilet pants.
No, that is not a life to live.
And there's also many stories from people who said it's very common, I guess, to be in a casino and go to sit down in a slot machine and just sit in a puddle. Because some people won't do the Depends thing and they will just piss their pants regularly.
What the hell?
I mean, can you imagine that amount of anxiety being like, I gotta pee so bad, feeling your body being like, this isn't natural. But then you just look and you're like, I could literally walk away from the pole. And then you eventually just pee yourself.
I cannot imagine it because one of my top fears has to do with this very situation. So no, I would never want to be in that situation. And I cannot imagine that.
I couldn't either, but I just couldn't imagine feeling that way about anything. You know?
God, I'm glad that you and I aren't into gambling because we both have that OCD brain. Ooh, that could be a real bad combo. Well, that was fascinating. And I also have two truths and a lie for you. All right, Trevin, are you all ears?
I'd say I'm probably more forehead.
Well, for this round, I am going to be doing two truths and a lie all about ears.
Ooh, cool.
More specifically, them getting cut off.
I am all ears at this
okay.
point.
Okay. I am going to start this off by saying that for each statement, they all begin with a truth, and there is only one that ends with a lie.
Okay.
So statement number one. In 1731, Captain Robert Jenkins had his ear sliced off by a Spanish sailor, causing the deadliest shipwreck in history. Statement two. In 1888, Vincent van Gogh cut off the lower part of his own ear, leading to a famous self-portrait. And statement number three. In 1997, Mike Tyson bit off a portion of Evander Holyfield's ear during a boxing match, causing him to become suspended and not fight again until 1999.
That's interesting. I'm just going to go with number one is the lie.
And you're right! Oh my God, Trevin, it's been a minute.
It has. I've been a loser for far too long. Just ask the critics.
So you are right.
Good. I knew B obviously was true.
Yes. Which... some people like to disagree that Van Gogh did not cut off his own ear, but the majority of historians that I was reading about do agree with that. So the first one is the lie. In 1731, Captain Robert Jenkins did have his ear sliced off by a Spanish sailor, but it didn't cause the deadliest shipwreck in history. Instead, it actually caused a full-on war.
Oh.
And the name of the war was War of Jenkins' Ear.
Oh, that's cool.
So it lasted from 1739 to 1748, and it was between Britain and the Spanish Empire. And it was all over this guy's ear being cut off. And yes, I would obviously love to keep my ears, both of them, please. Mm-hmm. But to have a whole war named after your ear, I mean, that is kind of unique.
Is that the most famous ear?
I wonder. I don't know.
I feel like somebody could probably come up with like three ears more that I can't think of.
Right. No, I don't know what came over me the other day. I think it was Van Gogh that I was thinking of first. And then I was like, oh, I'm going to see what other weird ear things are out there. And obviously Tyson. I mean, that's a really well-known one. And so is Van Gogh, but still.
Yeah. If you didn't grow up in the 90s, you may not know the Tyson one.
Yeah, that is crazy.
But that was huge news when I was a kid.
Yeah. So before we hop into stories, let's hear some ads.
Wee-hee-hee. If you like small town mystery, crazy news, and wild history, then the Florida Men on Florida Man podcast is for you. Each week, Josh Mills and Wayne McCarty bring you the absolute best Florida has to offer. So if you're looking for a show that's safe for the family, but funny enough to help you escape everyday life, then listen to the Florida Men on Florida Man podcast. That's Florida Men, plural, on Florida Man podcast.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And welcome back. I hope you can ignore that really weird transition noise I made.
I think we can all try.
Well, maybe I can distract you with a story.
Yes.
So I'm going first this week, and I've got a story that I think will be a bit divisive.
Ooh.
For me, I always find something to relate with in every petty criminal I cover.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure there's a lot of our listeners that are just like, no, this person's not relatable at all. So I think that at least 50% of you will be a little torn on whether or not you think this is a bad guy or not.
See, I love characters like this.
Yeah, me too. So without further ado, here we go. Have you ever been in a situation where you needed to do the right thing? A circumstance where it is completely up to you to make sure the wrong outcome does not manifest itself. Maybe your best friend is bragging about a new guy they've been dating.
OMG, he's perfect.
A guy that you recently found out spends his evenings bullying teens in online video games.
This is easier than your mom, dude.
They go on and on about his plans for the future and how much he volunteers in animal shelters. But all you can think about is the evil laugh he wails over the sound of children crying. So what do you do? If you were dating someone who secretly called kids on Mario Kart chode hounds, you would want to know immediately. But then again, your friend has never been happier.
I'm so happy!
And with their rocky past in the dating world, maybe a closeted child bully isn't the worst person they've dated. When faced with the conflict of doing the right thing, your mind tends to play out all of the worst possible outcomes. This can make an already difficult situation way worse. Confronting someone is hard, and people are unpredictable. You never know if your friend is going to be mad at you for coming between them, or if their new guy will decide to bully you online instead because you spoke up.
What's up, little chode hound?
More often than not, people will feel the urge to do the right thing, just to eventually let it go. The confrontation feels like too much of a hill to climb, while irrational self-talk kills the rest of your motivation. It takes a real superhero to stand tall and speak your truth. Whether it be voicing concerns to save a friend from a potentially unhealthy relationship, or telling your sister that her filled-in eyebrows make her look like Groucho Marx, the truth shall set you free. No matter the cost for your honesty, it's a better price to pay than the safety of your silence. With all of that being said, I have probably done the wrong thing more times than not. I'm sure we are all that way. Life and regular everyday interactions yield many opportunities to do the right thing, but there's just too many to ever say that you successfully rose to the occasion for the majority of them. I don't know how many times I've seen someone drop a dollar in a parking lot and not say anything, just to go pick it up later. It's not because I wanted a dollar. It was mainly social anxiety. I didn't want to raise my voice to get their attention, or worse, run quickly in their direction. Any weird reaction from them would have made me question my choice entirely and feel awkward. So it was just easier to let it go. I'm not perfect, but I'm working on it. Today's story will chronicle another situation between a person and their need to do the right thing. And yes, just like every example explained in this prologue, it's not going to be easy. Warner was a wealthy 81-year-old man living in an upscale retirement community in Naples, Florida. Equipped with a private golf course, fountains, and lush preserve areas, there was truly no better place for a rich retiree to call home than the Classics Plantation Estates. In his younger years, Warner was a famed sportscaster for ABC, where he would announce Monday night baseball games and Olympic events. With the evolution of video technology during the heyday of his career, Warner was the first person to use the phrase,
"Let's go to the videotape,"
when directing viewers to watch an instant replay. It had been a long and storied career in broadcasting for Warner, spanning from racial barriers being challenged in sports all the way to covering the 9/11 attacks. He had seen a lot of noteworthy things and worked to bring awareness of these issues to the good folks at home. But the hustle and bustle of the celebrity sportscaster life was far behind Warner. There were no more exposés to dive into and no media outrage to avoid. His life was now 18 holes of sprawling greens and evening walks down white sandy beaches in his own personal paradise. Among all the beauty and tranquility that his community provided him, there was one tiny detail that kept Warner from completely loving his new life. It was the name of the place. Classics Plantation Estates was the absolute dream. Warner recognized the privilege he had with owning an over $1 million home in such a prestigious locale But still, belonging to a plantation really irked him. He figured he would get over it after spending some time in the life of luxury, but that sense of bliss never came. Every morning, he would wake up to the sound of ocean waves, stroll down the curated and professionally maintained preserve trails, and have five-star meals at the community clubhouse. But every time he would look out at the front of his community resort, his eyes couldn't help but be drawn to the word, plantation. As the word began to affect Warner more, he decided to run it by his golf buddy Marty to gauge how other community members felt about it.
"Marty, there's just something about the word that really makes me feel bad," Warner said, full of sadness.
"Listen, Warner, it's best not to rock the boat here. This is a very prestigious place. We probably shouldn't even be having this conversation. Just be happy that you get to enjoy it. Sip another Arnold Palmer and forget that others can't experience life as good as you can right now,"
Marty replied, in an attempt to end the conversation.
"I just can't, Marty. In all of my years in broadcasting, I've seen some injustices. And this name in particular is an injustice.
Do you think anybody of color would feel welcome here? Our community is wider than a Kenny G concert at a Whole Foods. Let's go to the videotape."
Warner then pulled out his smartphone and showed Marty photos from the community's last yoga brunch event.
"My God, that's white," Marty said. "I'm not going to have this conversation anymore. I'm happy where I am, and I don't want to get kicked out. If you have a problem, why don't you just take it up with the community board meeting tonight? Just leave me out of it."
Marty then pranced away before Warren could draw attention to any other problematic subjects he didn't want to hear. That evening, Warren waited in line to speak with the plantation's community board. There were complaints about seagulls eating plants, people exceeding the speed limits in their golf carts, and even a couple of elderly women complaining about one's dog pooping in the other's yard. After different arguments from the community, it was finally Warren's turn. He slowly approached the podium as he made his argument to the board.
"I believe the Classics Plantation Estates should change their name and do away with the word plantation altogether. There's a history to that word that not only calls back to a darker time in our nation's history, but also comes off as very uninviting towards people of color. I think we could have a much more vibrant, diverse, and accepting community if we just did away with using the word plantation."
The board members leaned back and whispered amongst themselves to where Warren couldn't hear them, until the community manager eventually approached the mic.
"We as the board believe that this is just a word, and it does not affect any part of how our community is run or inhabited. Our doors are open to any person of any ethnicity or color, as long as they can afford the $6,000 plus HOA and club fees it takes to purchase a home in this estate. I can assure you, there is nothing about this community that is catered towards whites only."
"How can you say that?"
Warren spoke up.
"Your kitchen always has a spare half gallon of 2% on hand, in case one of the community members finds the mayonnaise too spicy."
"I've heard enough,"
the manager said before clapping his hands twice, summoning two henchmen to escort Warren out of the community building. Later that evening, Warren sat on his giant deck and watched dolphins do backflips from the comfort of his own home. Although this was a one-of-a-kind sight, he couldn't focus on its beauty. His mind was too focused on the word plantation and how disrespected he felt by the board, shrugging off his concern for a more welcoming community. It was time to take matters into his own hands. Something deep within Warren's soul screamed out for justice. And although he thought the hardest part about doing the right thing was speaking up, he quickly realized that he needed to make a statement that could not be ignored. On a later evening, Warren dressed in all black and wielded his special tool. He quickly made his way on foot to the front entrance of the community. Taking one last look at the Classics Plantation's estate sign, he pulled out his tool and began to pry away at the letter P. He chopped, he pulled, he hit, and he broke off all 10 letters to the vile word, until he looked at a newer, more welcoming sign.
"Welcome to Classics Plantation, motherfucker,"
Warren said to himself, as he clumsily walked back to his house with all of the letters in his arms. The next day, Warren watched as community leaders, tenants, and police gathered around the sign.
"I can't believe someone would do this to such an innocent word,"
one lady in the crowd shouted.
"Yeah, that's my heritage that's been stolen,"
another man replied back.
Throughout all of the chaos of elderly people weeping and police officers investigating, Warren noticed one deputy looking up in confusion.
"Hey, what's that?"
the officer yelled as he pointed to the top of a light pole. Warren followed the gaze of the man all the way up to find a black security camera pointed directly at the welcome sign. He wanted to hide inside of himself. Here he was, the famed sportscaster who built his legacy around reviewing instant replay tapes, and he's about to be taken down by a different form of instant replay. For the rest of the day, Warren played it cool. He didn't do anything to draw attention to himself, and he kept as low of a profile as possible, knowing that it was only a matter of time before he's identified in the video. Everywhere he went, he felt eyes staring at him. It seemed everyone knew, but no one had done anything about it. Eventually, the guilt was too much to bear. He wasn't wearing a mask or anything, and everyone knew he was the only anti-plantation community member. Still feeling like a hero, Warren loaded up his black SUV with the letters of plantation and drove up to the community entrance. Approaching the window to the gate, Warren rolled down his window and one by one handed the gate operator the letters.
"Give this to the property manager," Warren said as he continued on to Naples Jail Center.
In November of 2008, legendary sportscaster Warren Wolf was arrested after turning himself in for vandalizing the entrance sign to his upscale gated community in Naples, Florida. According to different people involved with the Classics Plantation Estates, Wolf was offended by the word plantation in the community's name as it referenced a time of slavery in America's past. After speaking his mind to different management and even confronting the community board, Wolf took matters into his own hands and forcibly removed the word plantation from the Classics Plantation Estate sign. Knowing that he was caught on camera, he later pulled up to the gate operator, returned each letter of the word, and drove himself directly to Naples Jail Center to turn himself in. Warren Wolf was charged with criminal mischief and released from jail the same day after posing a $5,000 bond. Police stated that the damage caused to the sign cost around $1,140. There is definitely a high price to pay when doing the right thing. And I don't just mean posting a $5,000 bond and paying for the damages you caused. When stepping up and speaking out about things that you feel are wrong, you're going to have to expect some social fallout. Maybe the majority of the people you interact with are okay with ignoring injustices, or don't want to rock the boat when demanding things be done a certain way. That doesn't mean that you are wrong for having the feeling you do. It just means that most people are so stuck in seeing things a certain way that the comfort of dealing with it is easier than the effort it takes to change it. When I was learning my way through being a creative writer and musician, there was one saying that always stuck to me. If it scares you, it's a sign you need to do it. Of course, there have been so many iterations of this saying, but I've always loved it. If I had a song I wanted to write, but it felt it may make me look weak or vulnerable, that was a good enough reason for me to show the world that I am having these feelings. As much as I don't want to bring up divisive topics on my show in fear of getting a bad review from a very vocal minority, I am now letting the fear guide me. There are too many systems and entities that are way bigger than any of us as individuals. I know that I'll never be able to make life more comfortable for everyone on the losing end of capitalism, and I'll never wipe depression off the face of the earth for all the good people out there struggling. But that doesn't mean I should be ignoring them and pretending they aren't there. It's the right thing to raise awareness on these things, so that more of those people purposely ignoring the issues can recognize that their inactivity is enabling these problems to exist. So I hope that you all can do the right thing for you. Speak up on how you're feeling. Share your emotions on certain subjects. The more honest you are with yourself, the more your heart can trust your mind. And I think that's the kind of peace we all need these days.
Oh my God. Did any of the articles ever follow up? Does he still live there or did he move or was that ever discussed in anything?
Never followed up that I could find.
Yeah.
I would love to know though.
I figured as much. I'm just curious, like, was it awkward every time he went to the clubhouse after that?
Yeah, I almost feel like the clubhouse themselves would be like, hey, one bad banana spoils the bunch kind of a thing. Like, mm-hmm. You need to get out of here because people want to enjoy their time and you obviously have a problem with us.
Yeah, dang. I could see that. I could see that. Ooh, that is very cringy. I know a lot of it was creative writing here, but Were any of those real quotes that the people said to him at all?
No.
Okay.
The one thing that they said in the meeting was, dude, we're Florida. There are so many resorts around here with the word plantation in them. They basically just kind of corporated him, PR'd him a little bit, and just said, everyone else is doing it. It's not wrong that we're doing it because we're just following in everybody else's footsteps.
Oh, God.
So that was pretty much the only real quote or anything that came from the opposite side of it was just, everybody else is doing it. Why is it a problem we're doing it?
Yeah. That is so not the greatest way to think. Not even close. I mean, good for him. I kind of love hearing these stories where people that are well known take a stand for something. That's kind of cool to see. And also, how dang ironic that he was the one who kind of coined that whole term, like, let's review the tape. And it's like, ah, shit, they're going to review the tape and find me.
You know, the funny thing is, I thought that was kind of a low-hanging fruit joke to make.
Yeah.
On all the articles, not one person was just like, oh, he was caught by the tape. You know, nobody said that. And I thought, wow, it seems so ironic to me. So I was the original thinker on that one.
Ooh, yes. Oh my God, that's wild.
I'm sure it probably was very different for him because he's an 81-year-old man. You would just kind of assume with, you know, the older mentality and, you know, how America was back then, which shouldn't affect him that much, or at least from our other experience from other people, it normally doesn't affect them.
Yeah.
So to see him want to stand up against it, I'm sure he was probably the only person there that had a problem with it.
Yeah.
And probably like my story is just like, shut up, man. It's great here. Just be happy.
Yeah. But he was like, no, that's not good enough. I'm like, hell yeah. I respect the hell out of that.
Yeah. Like we talked about that one episode recently about how if there's a plot hole in our story, we feel like we need to try to explain it, even though most movies wouldn't. I had to put in the plot hole explainer of, oh, when he bought the house, he just thought he would eventually get over it.
Okay.
Because I thought, if this dude hates the word so much, why did he give it his money in the first place?
That is 100% what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's right. You did say that. Because that was going to be my other thing is like, okay, I mean, it had the name when you moved in. But I get it. In my whole reasoning that I made the connection in my mind was that he looked at the pictures or maybe he got recommended this place from someone else or something. And he just loved it so much that he overlooked the name. I don't know. That's the only thing I can think. But clearly it still was bothering him.
Yeah. The way I imagined it in my head, it was like a used car salesman that comes up and he's just like, we've got it all. We got dolphins that do flips. We got five-star restaurant on the thing. We got this. We got that. And he's like, you deserve to be living a life of luxury like this because you're a legend. You should have this. The only problem is it's racist. Hello. And he's like, that'll be $1 million or whatever. And
totally.
I think he was kind of just like, if you're weighing it out in your head, it's like the good, the bad, I can get over that. And then a little bit later he's like,
no,
I can't get over it.
I cannot get over that and shouldn't have to.
That's how I imagined it, but I don't really know.
Yeah, that's kind of how I was thinking too. Dang, that is crazy though.
Yeah, good, it's cool that he did that, but I'm sure he either got kicked out or got ran out.
That's
or something.
What I need to know. For me, I would probably be like, okay, well, I probably just need to pack up my stuff. It sounds like a very, very fancy place, but I'm sure he could find another one.
I'm sure he could.
If they can't take his concerns into consideration, then I doubt he'd even want to be there anyway.
Yeah, which they don't have to take his concerns, you know.
Totally.
They make enough money. But yeah, I was trying to find a good website of it. And man, the pictures of the people selling it were very white, matching tops.
Oh,
very
God.
Happy together. And I was looking at what it cost and it was like, I forget how often it was, like $6,000 HOA you have to pay for. Plus there's fees because you have to be a part of the golf club just to live there.
Damn.
And I thought, woo.
I was wondering if that whole $6,000 thing was legit. It sounded legit.
Yeah, it was
legit. It sounded terrifying to me.
Yeah.
Well, great job. I don't know yet if I have a clear connection in mind.
Uh-oh.
So be on the lookout, okay?
Ears are peeled. If you know what I mean.
I do. So I have a story from the news as well. And there's really not much I want to say. I just want to get in here and tell the story. I think it's one that we will all enjoy. So here we go. Life is much easier when we are provided the proper tools to succeed. Some jobs, in fact, are impossible to complete without specific tools. Just imagine Darth Vader without his red-hot lightsaber. All alone, He would just be some weirdo in an all-black costume, breathing heavily. I'd argue there is no way he could reach his full villainous potential without it. But within life's unpredictability, there are bound to be times when the obvious tools just aren't an option. Today's story is about a man with limited utensils, and how he's still caught? A petty criminal. Brendan Mills was an extremely pleasant man, residing in Queensland, Australia during the summer of 2022. To everyone that knew and loved him, Brendan could fix anything. He patched up his mother-in-law's leaking roof, single-handedly removed all bees' nests in his neighborhood, and he even repaired his credit score from a 413 to a 739.
Awesome!
Working in the automotive field, Brendan had acquired a yard full of large machinery and car parts. Each item was thoughtfully kept for different uses. Brendan was a hard worker, and at times may have worked too much. So on a warm June day, he put down his tools and took his wife and daughters into town to have some fun.
Nothing can go wrong! Woohoo!
Unbeknownst to the family, shortly after they had left home, someone else had arrived. A young woman who had fallen on tough times wandered up their property. After breaking in, the woman ran herself a warm shower and made her way through Brendan's wife's clothing. When she found an outfit she liked, she got changed and began looking for car keys. She didn't have to look long as she grabbed a set of keys placed on the kitchen counter and exited the house. Meanwhile, Brendan and his family were on their way back home. The car ride was full of laughter and singing as they had enjoyed their afternoon adventure. But evening had now approached, turning the sunlight golden and causing the family's tummies to grumble in hunger.
"We're home!"
Brendan exclaimed as he pulled into the driveway. His wife and daughters cheered in unison as the car turned off.
"Dad, why is our other car on?"
his oldest daughter asked.
"That's a good question, sweetheart. You girls stay right here."
Brendan slowly approached his red Volkswagen Polo with the engine running mysteriously. Unable to see inside his tinted windows, Brendan approached the driver's side door, but it was locked with someone behind the wheel.
"I'm going to need you to exit my vehicle,"
Brendan stated calmly as he knocked on his car window. But there was no response.
"Hello? Yeah, I need you to get out, okay?"
Brendan tried to put on his mean voice, but there was still no response. Brendan knew if he didn't act quickly, his car would be stolen right in front of him. He looked around frantically, searching for a tool to help him unlock the door or prevent the car from moving, but found nothing of use. Just when he had run out of ideas, Brendan raised his head and looked down his driveway. Parked and ready in the sunset glow was his trusty and slightly rusty forklift. Without a second thought, Brendan hopped into his forklift and started it right up. He approached the driver's side of his Volkswagen and lifted his still-running car up into the forks. In a swift yet cautious motion, Brendan raised his almost-stolen vehicle 6 feet up into the evening air, with the car thief still inside.
"What the fork? Let me out of here!"
the woman yelled from inside the lifted car. But Brendan called the authorities instead. On June 5th, 2022, a 24-year-old unidentified woman broke into Brendan Mills' home in Queensland, Australia. This all happened while he was out with his wife and daughters. After breaking in, the woman showered, changed into new clothes from the home, and planned to steal the family's red Volkswagen Polo. What I'm sure she didn't plan on was the family arriving home before she drove off in the stolen vehicle. Even more shocking, I'm sure, was when Brendan lifted her up inside the car using his work forklift. After calling the authorities and they arrived on scene, the vehicle and the woman were slowly lowered back down to the ground. Upon exiting, she was arrested and charged with burglary and unlawful use of a motor vehicle. Although no one was injured, a spokesperson for the local police warned the public in a statement, saying, "To ensure community safety, police recommend members of the public not engage in methods of disrupting criminal activity, which may involve risk of personal harm or further legal recourse." Regardless of this warning, I think we can all applaud Brendan for his quick and innovative thinking. Because as I said earlier, life is much easier when provided with the proper tools, but it's never a guarantee. So stay sharp, observant, and elevated. And remember, when petty criminals go low, you can always lift them up.
What a way to act fast.
Totally. And can I also just say, not only did I read a ton of articles about this whole situation, but I also watched an interview of Brendan, and it was so damn funny because not only did I just find him to be completely lovable, and I didn't even try to do an Australian accent here today.
That's probably for the best.
I probably should have to honor Brendan, but he came across as a very lovable and thoughtful and genuine guy, and he was sitting on his forklift while he was doing the interview, and I just thought that was so funny.
Yeah, that's funny.
Another thing that I loved about the interview that I watched about Brendan was that even though a complete stranger broke into his home, stole stuff, tried to steal his car, total invasion of privacy, all this stuff, even though he had gone through this, he was actually very respectful and like wanted to keep the woman's privacy that committed the crime and everything. And wow, the way he explained it, and this was a recent story, so just in 2022, he's like, you know, there's been so many of these crimes happening over the past few years, and there's just a lot of people that are struggling with, you know, not having home and finances. And he was just very respectful and was like, this is just a bigger issue, obviously, than what has happened with just us or whatever. And he's like, I know it's crazy. You probably shouldn't lift someone up in a forklift, but I was just trying to prevent our car from being stolen and also trying to do it in the safest way possible. And he's like, I didn't know who was driving because the windows were tinted. So That's all like a very true detail. But I just thought, wow, what are the chances that this all happened?
Yeah, that's really cool. I like that bit of foresight to, you know, think about it and not just get too caught up in the emotions of the moment.
Yeah. He was very like, yeah, I didn't know who it was. I was trying to keep everybody safe, including the car thief. He was literally trying to keep everybody safe. And the videos, even once they lowered the car down and the police cam footage that was released, they even had her face blurred. I don't know. I feel like her identity is very much protected from everything that I saw.
And what state did you say this was?
It's in Queensland, Australia.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're probably just more respectful.
I know. Mm-hmm. But I did find it fascinating that apparently that's more of a common thing that's been happening frequently, because that's happened to my car here in the States too. Mm-hmm. And I was like, huh, that's very interesting. And I don't know. I don't think a lot of people can step away from what is personally happening to them to think of the other person that's right, doing the crime to them. So I just thought that in itself was mind-blowing.
I mean, people can't do that when having a conversation on the internet, when you have plenty of time to prepare your response, right, let alone in the heat of having your car being stolen and all this other stuff, and like try to make a good ethical judgment decision.
Yeah. Good on him, really.
He's better than I am.
Yeah, and that's why I gave him a good character story, because he's just the overly pleasant Bob the Builder fix-it man in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's true, but that's the vibe I got.
He seems like a nice guy.
Like a good, good, good guy. So, yeah, I mean, do you think of any connections between the two?
Well,
there's deeper issues.
There's deeper happening. Issues. These are both about people who did the right thing, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Both of our main characters sort of did the right thing. It makes it a little more unfair because only mine was a criminal. Yours ended up not being the criminal.
Totally. But it is interesting that you can honestly try to just do your best, whether you are the one committing a crime or reporting the crime.
Mm-hmm.
We're just doing the best we can.
Yeah. So these are two well-intentioned people.
Yeah, I agree. Lord, who are we? What is this show anymore?
Yeah.
All these good people coming up in here. We're both going soft. Oh my God. Yeah, I kind of love that. I love that as the connection. And I'll be a softie. I don't give one damn.
Yeah, that's kind of what we do.
So I hope everyone out there listening is just having the best week. And remember, no matter the crime, big or small, in the end, we're all doomed.
Doomed to lift each other up.
Yeah. Bye.
See ya.
Thanks for lending us your ear and for listening to our show today. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button so you always know when a new episode is coming.
And follow us on social media, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. And maybe I'll show you a picture of my ripped pants.
And for all of you out there with hearts of gold who may have committed a petty crime, send us your story, livelaughlarceny@gmail.com.
And help us combat the haters by giving us 5 stars wherever you review podcasts. Only you can help prevent online trolls. I've had 3 hit that state. God damn it.
Oh my God, are you gonna live?
Some dry spot in my throat. It's just like the back of my throat feels like no matter how much I drink, it can't be dry.
You need like a hot tea, maybe. Me, 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 me. Yeah, do a little vocal warm up.
Me.
There you go. That's how you know it ain't right.